Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. This is Woman's Hour, and wonderfully, we are now going to make a cinnamon bun cake. We'll find out how to do it. And I don't really suppose I've had a less taxing assignment in my entire life. Now, the Cook the Perfect guest today is the half-Norwegian cook and food writer, Signe Johansen. Signe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You are going to make the cinnamon bun cake, which is basically, and it's been just a couple of feet away from me for the last hour, and it's been killing me because I want to lurch across and grab hold of it. It's how many separate cinnamon buns all put together in one big cake?
Seven cinnamon buns.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. You need an odd number to make sure that they fit in the tin.
In the tin, right. What's the measurement of the tin?
It's 23 centimetres. It's a standard cake tin.
Okay, so you don't need anything extraordinary to start with.
No, absolutely
right.
Not.
The full recipe and all the exact details you need, of course, already on the Woman's Hour website. Just look for that, bbc.co.uk/radio4/Woman's Hour. Signe, you use spelt flour. Why is that so important?
Well, I find spelt is more digestible. There's various theories about this sort of ancient Roman grain that has come back in fashion that is considered healthier for people who have a wheat intolerance. My father's diabetic, and that's how I found out about it, because he said, you know, can you start baking some bread with spelt? And so I duly went off and made some bread with it and thought it was fantastic. So I haven't really looked back since. That was about 10 years ago, and I use it in most of my yeasted baking now.
And what about the fact that you recommend either fresh or dried yeast?
Yeah, it's a good question. It really depends on availability.
Okay.
In Scandinavia, you can get fresh yeast in every supermarket in the chiller cabinet. It's readily available. In the UK, it's slightly harder to come by. So I recommend, if you can get a hold of it from a local bakery or from a health food shop, then it's always best to use fresh yeast if you can.
Where do you store it if you can get hold of it?
You can store it in the fridge. It keeps for a week or two, depending on how fresh it is. And if not, you can freeze it. If you do defrost some frozen yeast, though, make sure you double the quantity that the recipe says. It gets a bit slow after it's been asleep in the freezer.
Okay, that's a good tip. And cardamom. Now, is that essential?
Absolutely. We love our cardamom in Scandinavia. We love our spices. They're not just for Christmas. They get used all year round. And of course, you can smell the cardamom from here, probably.
Yes,
It's a very heady, pungent spice, and it really improves the dough, I find. The flavour of the dough is really fantastic.
One more ingredient that I didn't really know much about, vanilla salt.
Oh, yes, I love vanilla salt. It's actually from Wales, a little company called Hale & Mon. They make vanilla salt in Wales, and you can make it yourself at home. You can just blitz up a vanilla pod with some sea salt and just store it in a jar, and it's fantastic for baking, for making salted caramels, for all sorts of baked things. It's a really versatile ingredient.
Let's plough through a little bit of the method. You have to heat the milk and butter first, and then you put in the dry ingredients.
Yes. So we have we've melted some butter with the milk just to warm it through. And by scalding the milk, it's a slightly chemical reaction that's going on here. I was taught that if you scald the milk, you remove some of the enzymes that can interfere with the dough, I guess. And not to put too much of a scientific slant on it, but what happens is the end result is a much softer, more pillowy dough.
But what does scald mean?
Scald just means to bring it to the boil and then let it
and
cool
then
down.
Take it right off.
Take it right off. Don't let it sort of fizz over.
No.
And then let it cool down put it to the side. And never add really hot liquid to a yeasted bun dough because it will kill the yeast. So make sure it's below 50 degrees before you add it.
Now, this to me sounds like it might not be for the novice.
Well, it's a good question. I always say practice makes perfect, and I think yeasted buns are brilliant to make with kids. It's a really family-friendly activity. You get your hands stuck in, you know, you knead the dough, and children love doing this sort of thing because they love seeing the sort of magic of a dough coming together and changing shape and rising, and it's alchemy at its very best in the kitchen.
It is, beautiful, potentially.
It really is.
Yeah. proving the dough, then. I mean, if you've never done that before, I really need some top tips from you on how to do it properly.
Okay. The first step is to make sure that your yeast is active, that it's alive. If you're unsure, particularly with fresh yeast, just add a little bit of sugar, a pinch of sugar to it to make sure that it bubbles and fizzes, and that's a sign that it's healthy and it's alive and it's doing its thing. With dried yeast, obviously, just add it straight to the dough. If nothing's happening within the first 15-20 minutes, if it feels very firm and hard, you might have off yeast, or it's, you know, it's past its expiration date.
So how long do you give it then? Just 20 minutes?
It should really, ideally, when you're kneading the dough, it should start to take on a dough feel. So it should feel quite velvety. It should start to spring back when you press it with your thumb. It should really start to feel like the yeast is actually fermenting. It's bubbling. It's doing something in the dough. So if it's feeling very tough and dry and biscuit-like, then you probably need to start again with some fresh yeast if you've got some.
Tell me a little bit then about the filling and then how you compile the cake.
So essentially all you do is, once you've got your risen dough, you knock it out. Don't be too violent with it. You want to maintain some of the air bubbles in the dough, but you want it to sort of slightly flatten down. Have your rolling pin at the ready. And if you're worried about the dough sticking to a surface, just lightly oil the surface underneath.
And oil?
Lightly oil.
Not flour?
Ideally not, no. If you add too much flour, you can alter the sort of composition of the dough.
Okay, so you'll get your alchemy wrong, won't you?
Exactly. Yes. So you want to keep, and also you want to keep the dough quite supple and quite moist. You don't want to dry it out. The wetter the dough, the better the buns will be, basically. So take your rolling pin, roll out into a rectangular shape, about the size of a laptop, I would say. So a good sort of rectangle size. Keep turning it if you find that you tend to roll to one side. Most people have a natural inclination to either roll to the left or the right, depending on which side they are. So you want to just keep it turning. The same thing with pastry dough, and keep it quite even in size. And then you just cream some butter, add your cinnamon, and I add lots and lots of cinnamon. Don't be sparing with the cinnamon. You need to taste it in the end result. So add your cinnamon and your sugar and a bit of vanilla salt, or just plain sea salt if you prefer, and just smear that on. Just use a spatula or one of these dough scrapers, which are brilliant for a variety of purposes in the baking kitchen.
Now, I know that you can either bring all the buns together, as you say, the seven, and make a cake, or you can make seven buns, but there must be a difference in the cooking time depending on which option you take.
This is a really good point. So if you're baking them individually, they will take about, depending on your oven, they'll take about 10 to 12 minutes.
At what temperature?
At about 200 degrees. If you really want to give them a bit of a boost, add a little bit of water to the oven just before you pop the buns in. And you can always turn the temperature up slightly for the first 5 minutes if you're worried about them being a bit flat, a bit sort of sad looking. The extra heat and the steam will help them to rise in the oven and really give them a nice pillowy effect.
Well, I can't really wait much longer. So if you could just, I mean, not even gently, but just get a piece, give me a piece of cinnamon bun cake.
My goodness, you've got an entire cake to yourself.
Okay,
here.
Well, yes, well, I'm an extremely selfish woman, so there's no way my colleagues are going to get their mitts on this. And you just wrench it, do you? There's no need to be...
Well, that's the idea. It's meant to be shared. Obviously, if you want to devour the entire cake yourself, you're very welcome to, but the idea is that you know, it's the breaking of bread. You know, it's a very convivial act to have, you know, to sit down with a cup of coffee and
what's
have
that
your
called?
Buns.
It's got a name, hasn't it? That Scandinavian
fika. It's a Swedish tradition, which is very sociable. It's all about kind of, you know, solving the problems of the world and sitting down with friends and having a good strong cup of coffee and a bun. And
I think a bun solves most of life's problems. Actually.
Absolutely,
yeah, if only temporarily. Signe, thank you so much for coming in.
It's
that
a pleasure.
Was brilliantly and very clearly described. And if you'd like to know more, the recipe for the cinnamon bun cake is on the Woman's Hour website, bbc.co.uk/radio4/womanshour, and look for Cook the Perfect. They really are lovely. Thank you very much. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.